Well, hello, everyone. It's Al Zay Calhoun with Coveted Consultant, and I'm here with Mr. Jack Trout. And it really is a pleasure to have him on the line today because if we're talking about positioning, he is one of those people that has been a forward mover of the topic. He's written over 15 books on the topic. He's written the book actually called Positioning. He's written Jack Trout on Strategy, A Genie's Wisdom, Big Brands, Big Trouble, Differentiate or Die. I mean, he spent a lot of his career focused on this thing called positioning. So he's going to help us understand it. He's going to give us some tools to actually leverage it. And we'll just kind of dig around here, and we'll see if we can't find some insight that's useful for all of us. So, Mr. Trout, how are you today?
I'm fine. I got a bit of a cold, so you'll have to bear with me.
Fair enough. Let's kind of start here. Where would, for someone who may have heard your name but not quite know where they may have heard your name from, where might someone know you from? What are you kind of best known for in the field?
Well, I've been at this a long time. I'm probably, one of the best well-known marketing strategy people in the world, actually. And that's been driven by the many books that I've written on the subject. But let's start with the basic definition of positioning, which people have to understand. It's how you differentiate yourself, your company, whatever you're selling, in the mind of your customer and your prospect. And when I pioneered this idea in 1969, when the world was starting to get competitive, I recognize the fact that you win or lose in the mind of your prospect. It was the perceptions that they have of you, what you stand for, what makes you different. That's the game. And I will give you a warning. It's not as easy as it reads. You can read all my books and it'll say, yeah, that's easy. And essentially I warn people. I say, it reads easy, but it's not easy to implement. Primarily because people constantly want to grow, they want to get bigger, and they're not willing to sacrifice. You're not willing to give up something to get something, and that's the trick. And it's very hard. It's not easy work, but it's critical if you want to separate yourself from your competitors.
Can you talk a little bit more about what you have to give up? So that may not be intuitive for some folks. So,
well-known, I've forgotten exactly who wrote it, very famous marketing, and I mean business consultant, said, we don't have an inordinate need to grow. We have an inordinate desire to grow. Mm-hmm. In other words, Wall Street is out there pitching various companies, and essentially all they want to see is how you're going to grow. And they force people to do stupid things, to get into businesses they shouldn't get into, to not stay with exactly what they are, and find a way to just constantly improve it. So that's really what it comes down to. It's a willingness to not be what you should be, to sacrifice other ideas or businesses that you might want to pursue.
So in terms of positioning, being seen as a market leader, being seen as best in your field, best in class. In your opinion, is this something that a company has to do, or can they get away with being second? Can they get away with being good enough?
Well, look, in Differentiate or Die, I wrote a lot about this as a strategy. It's a question of where you are in the marketplace. If you're the leader, you reinforce your leadership idea. You continue to tell people that you're the leader, because people tend to buy what other people buy. If you're number two, you have to attack the leader at a weak point. You have to go where they're not. I covered that in great detail in my book called Marketing Warfare. And then if you're starting something new, then you're in a wholly different game. Now you're creating a new idea. And if you're a small player in a big category, you got to become a gorilla and understand how gorillas operate. find a small piece of the jungle that you can find happiness in. So if warfare, marketing warfare, is your best guide to determining, are you defending, are you attacking, are you flanking, or are you a guerrilla?
In your experience, is one of those positions better than the other?
Sure, leadership. People buy what other people buy. And if I can be number one, I want to stay number one, I want to continue to dominate, and I want to make people aware of the fact that, you know, you're dealing with the leader.
And so if you choose the number one positioning, so that, you know, if
you can't choose it. You can't choose it. You got to do it. You got to start something. You have to pioneer something. It's a new idea. Whatever it is, you know, you don't choose it. You earn it.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about how you earn it then. So what are the kind of because a moment ago you talked about some of the attitudes you got to take on. What are some of the kind of brass tacks tactical things you've got to do in the marketplace?
Well, number one, every program starts with your competition. You have to understand deeply, you know, what your competition is about, where they're strong, where they're weak, et cetera. You know, if you're inventing a new category, there is no competition, and that's of course a terrific place to be. But again, that's something you have to sort of invent something, start something, and whatever. So step one is, what's the competition? And then step two, you have to determine, you know, where they're weak and strong and what position you can achieve. Very important. What idea can I take ownership of? Number four, what are my credentials for that idea? In other words, you can't just sort of say, I'm here and I'm great. You have to have credentials. Is it research? It's just business you've done, whatever it is. And then finally, you have to communicate that idea. You have to go out in the marketplace and tell your story. Good marketing is good storytelling, and that's the game. So those are the four key steps: competition, what idea can I own, how do I back it up and prove it, and then finally, how do I communicate it?
When it comes to communication, have you found certain strategies to work better? Have you found word of mouth to be better than digital marketing? Have you found print to be better than digital? Have you found?
Word of mouth is obviously very powerful. And that's what's happening in this brave new digital world. When you see all this crap on Facebook and all that, you see a lot of word of mouth. Word of mouth used to be harder because it was one neighbor talking to another neighbor. Now you can do it electronically and digitally, and it's so you see a ton of it. The trouble is a lot of it. How do you sort out the good from the bad? That's your problem. So now, obviously, television still today it reaches more people. That's why the Super Bowl commercials are good. Everybody wants to do one of those because of the reach of your story. But the problem is, if you look at today's advertising, I look at it and I say, it's ridiculous. A lot of ads out there you have to say, what the hell are they selling?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about entertainment, getting laughs. So the advertising industry, because they want to make sure that people sort of watch the commercial, they have fallen into the entertainment trap. They're not selling much. They're doing a lot of entertaining. And that's why so many commercials on television today, you have no idea what they're selling, or you have only a vague idea. So the advertising industry is not good at this stuff. That's been one of the ongoing problems. And I find this all over the world. So that's the problem with advertising. You have to be right on strategy. You got to tell your story. And you have to find a way to dramatize it. Sure, make it interesting. But you got to tell your story, and you can't fall into the. David Ogilvy many years ago said, "The trouble with too many creative people, they like to play in their sandbox." Mm-hmm. And you see a lot of sandbox play going on right now.
So what should a business leader do in that sense then? Because if the moment you talk about telling your story, you say, well, hey, I need some help telling my story, so I should go to an advertising agency to help me tell my story. But
correct.
I agree with you that a lot of advertising agencies don't do this well. So
correct. That's why when you go to an agency, you have to have a clear idea as to what your position is, what your idea is. The idea that, and what you say to them is, don't be creative. I want you to dramatize this idea, this concept. I want you to make it interesting. That's what your job is. Don't give me creativity. Give me dramativity. That's what I want you to do. So you have to maintain control. You just don't throw it to these people and say, what do you want to do? That's your mistake.
Very good. I like that. The idea of don't be creative. Be dramatic, right?
Exactly. Dramatize my point of difference.
What I'm giving you. Right.
If I have a point of difference, I want you to dramatize it.
Yeah. Excellent. I really appreciate that. So what we're saying here is that as the leader of the business, you've got to own your own message. You've got to be clear about that before you engage another firm. And you've got to tell this firm what you're trying to do, and they should help you enable that idea versus give you an idea to own. Great. So are there any big projects that you are working on as a firm or that your firm is working on that you want to share with us?
Well, not really. Most of my work has sort of, interesting enough, has moved over to China. China is a large country which is, as you know, going from what I call a manufacturing-based economy, making stuff for everybody, to a market-based economy. They realize now that they have to begin to try to build brands. Domestically, obviously, they have to find a way to take this positioning stuff and use it to build brands in China as opposed to just making stuff for everybody. So that's been a lot of my recent activity, has been doing various projects in China and sort of try to educate them about positioning. In China, because they think now positioning is their key to success, I'm a rock star in China. If I go to China, I mean, it's amazing. You know, they see me as the answer to their problem of, how do we build brands? Because this is new to them. And they've read all my books. In fact, they took all my books, 15 of them, and published them all and put them in a box. And it's called Trout in a Box. Mm. You can buy, you can buy a box of every book. And that's how hard they're working at trying to learn how to build brands.
So I have a follow-up question about that. So are these companies, generally speaking, are these like the larger manufacturers?
No. They're the entrepreneurs in China, the smaller players.
Gotcha.
Remember, the government runs the big stuff.
Right. Okay.
In China, they run the big deals. But what they've said, the deal they made to the entrepreneur, the business class, is, I tell you what, we'll do the big stuff. You guys can do whatever you want, and we'll leave you alone on the smaller brands. Go ahead. Be an entrepreneur. And because it's such a big country, you know, there's a lot of business for even a smaller player to begin to build a brand because the numbers are so big.
Very interesting. Well, if someone wants to get in touch with your firm or get in touch with you, where should they go?
Go to the website. It's troutandpartners, .com.
Wonderful.
Trout and Partners. That's the place to go.
Wonderful. Well, is there any parting words for us? Anything we should know about before we close out today's interview?
No, I think that. I think the key thing is, number one, you got to understand your competition. You got to have a clear picture of it, and then number two, you have to find some way to separate yourself from your competition. That's super important. Or else, guess what you're stuck with? Price. How do I do it cheaper? And that's the road to rack and ruin.
Right. because the winner of that game goes to zero, right? If we're,
that's exactly right. Down. That's good night and good luck.
Right. Excellent. Well, sir, I appreciate your time today. I think we've nailed it. So
I thank you
so much for offering your time today. Best of luck to you, sir, in the future.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, take care.